Church, we've come to the close of another year almost. This will be our last Sunday service in 2015. And kind of a time to sit back and reflect on our year, how much has happened in 12 months, how different our lives is, what's changed, where we are now from where we were when we began in January. A lot of things in our life has shifted. A lot of us are in a different place than we were a year ago, some in a better place, some maybe in a worse place. But I want to remind you, as we reflect on this year, that throughout our year, that God is good. And He's good through all of our storms. He's good through all of our battles. Our storms and our battles do not change the goodness of God. It doesn't change His power. It doesn't change His wisdom. It doesn't change His strength. It doesn't change His holiness. It doesn't change who He is. And so what we've got to learn to do, I think, in life is, as bad things come, that we just still praise God because He's good. No matter what comes our way, we still give God the glory that's due His name, because He is still the Lamb of God. He's still King of Kings. He's still Lord of Lords. And that doesn't change, and it never will. God knows what He is doing. He is all-powerful, all-knowledgeable, all-wisdom, all things in our lives. And I'm amazed to find how we can truly see the strength of God sometimes at the lowest points of our lives, when we feel God pick us up, dust us off, and give us what we need. And I'm thankful for that. Looking forward to 2016. I've got it on the screen. I'll put up at the very end of service just to remind everybody, in case you don't hear me, because I know with my southern accent, some of you northerners have a hard time following what I'm saying. There will be no church Wednesday night. No church this Wednesday, but we will have our New Year's Eve service Thursday night, 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock Thursday night. We'll have one more service in this year for 3 hours of 2015. But this will be the last Sunday of this year. And so let's start in Psalms 103, verse 1. We're talking about the Lord is good all the time. 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord. Give God praise. Give God glory. Vocalize that in your worship. Vocalize that with your lips. You know, we're to bless the Lord in all things, because God is faithful. God is constant. God is steady. God can be depended upon. God's the one that never leaves us. God's the one that never forsakes us. God's the one that gives us peace and joy. God's the one that meets our needs. God's the one that's always there when nobody else seems to be there. When all voices become silent, God's voice is never silent. So we bless Him, because God always speaks. The thing I love about God, no matter how bad I've been, no matter how naughty I've been, no matter how far away I feel, no matter how weak I've become, no matter what my attitude is by being a big fat jerk, when I call on God and talk to God, He hears me, and He loves me, and He still answers me. And He doesn't turn me away like we turn each other away because of something so ridiculous. That guy didn't pay me back that $2 he borrowed at break. I never speak to him again. I mean, really? It's funny how we just turn away from anything. I'm thankful God doesn't turn us away that way, that we can bless the Lord and God hears us and God answers us and God is a constant ear and a constant voice in our lives. Through every battle and through every storm, God's a constant force in our lives, because our seasons change. Many of us are in a different place today than we were January 1. Many of us are in a different place. Many of us, things have changed. In my own family, things have changed. I've not seen my son in 7 months. That's changed since January 1 for my life. Many of you have lost someone this year in your family. You know, many of you are maybe you've lost your job this year. You're just in a different place than you were in January 1, and you've been through some hardships. Maybe some old demons have come back this year to try to stick itself to your life and drag you back in that old lifestyle, and you're not maybe the place you have planned on being. There's good news. God's constant. God's steady. God's faithful. And guess what? In a few days, a brand new year begins. 2016 is here. And we're going to embark on a brand new season. People make resolutions all the time, and you know, we never keep them most time, and they die by the wayside. But the one thing that we can resolute to do is, you know what? It's a new year. And God, I'm going to put behind me all the stuff that's happened behind me this year. I'm going to put all that stuff that's drug me down behind me. I'm going to put all that stuff that's hurt me behind me, and I'm going to enjoy a new day as a new year breaks. I'm going to enjoy a new year and a new season, and God, this year is going to be different than last year. We can make that declaration. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. We got benefits better than Walmart. We got benefits better than Freightliner. We got benefits better than Apple. I mean, we got benefits. What are some of these benefits? The Bible tells us what they are. He forgiveth all my iniquities. Wow. I mean, you look at this. He forgiveth all my iniquities. Who else forgives us but Christ? No one. No one. And here's the thing about God that's different than us. Because we say, well, I forgive you, but I don't forget it, right? Famous line. And it is. We really can't. I don't care how holy we think we are, how Holy Spirit filled we are, how much we shout, dance, speak in tongues. I want to tell you something. You're going to remember what people do in your life. You're going to remember it. It's going to be there. No matter how hard you try to forget it. Yes, you can forgive, and yes, you can move on. Yes, you can talk to that person that was the enemy. But you're always going to have the back of your mind. You're always going to remember that time when. When God sees us, there's no looking at when. God truly forgives us, washes it away, and truly says, what sin? What sin? I've removed it as far as the east is from the west. I don't see that anymore in your life. I only see my righteousness now in your life, not the sin that was in your life. Only my righteousness, which is now in your life. So one of the benefits of God is he forgives us of our iniquities. That's good news. He healeth all thy diseases. Boy, that's good news too, isn't it? He healeth all of our diseases. You know, he heals them one way or the other, don't he? Either here or later, but he heals us. And that's a comfort for me to think that those that we love, and some folks' faith is shaken when they pray for someone to be healed physically and they're not. But God's promise was still fulfilled. They were healed of all their diseases. For those who have passed on in the kingdom of God no longer have disease, no longer have sickness, no longer have physical struggles, no longer have any pain. They have a 100% clear bill of health, 100% checkup of being perfectly healthy. All things are healed by the hand of God. Sometimes he heals us on the earth. Sometimes he doesn't. But all the time, he heals us. And that's what we must take comfort in. He does heal all our diseases. We're not going to always battle that arthritis you're battling with this morning. Isn't that good news? You're not going to always have cracky knees. Ain't that good news? You're not going to always have the problem when you can't move your arm but a certain level. You look like a, you know, you're in a cast when you walk because you've got so much pain you can't raise your arms. God is going to heal all of our diseases. My grandma Lewis passed away with Alzheimer's. She was 79 years old, and she passed away not knowing who her family was. But you know what? That's not the case anymore. She's healed. Her mind's been healed and restored completely. And not only does she not know her family again, but man, she knows the ones we read about. She knows Moses now. She knows Jonah. Imagine being a part of a fellowship of all the saints of God. I mean, church, I really believe that. This is not mythical talking. I know this sounds so maybe old-fashioned or elementary to some people, but I really believe that in the kingdom of God, we will be associated with all the saints that's gone before us. That we will fellowship. We will know them. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, imagine this. You know? I mean, you know, Rodney goes to Peter and says, Peter, you really denied him 3 times? What was up with that? How could you deny him 3 times? And Peter's like, dude, you wasn't there. You didn't see them swords coming towards you. What would you have done? And Rod, in his boastful way, I'd have stood for Christ. Oh, you would have, would you? Well, let's just see about that. I just think about the fellowship of all the ones gone before us. How amazing that's going to be. To know the ones that's loved us. To know our family and be reunited with them again. And all that happens because Jesus has healed all of our diseases and forgiven us of all of our iniquities. Which means my sin has been removed and my sickness has been removed. I'm healed spiritually. I'm healed physically. It's part of his benefits. That's why he's good all the time. He redeemeth my life from destruction. He redeemeth me from destruction. Think about the road some of you are on before Jesus. Where would your life be without Christ? Where would you be today in the year 2015 if Jesus hadn't called your name and redeemed you? Or maybe you're struggling even now, but think about how it would be without Jesus. Where you really would be. How far down the road you would be. The stories we read about, the people that we know, classmates you went to school with, you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they're in that situation. Or my God, bless their heart, or their life is so horrible. Without the grace of God, there goes us. There goes us. There's an old black and white movie I love. I hadn't seen it in years. My mom showed it to me as a little boy. I've watched it several times as an adult, but I've not seen it in many years. It's called, I think it's Angels with Dirty Faces. Is that right? And it's, who's that star? It's got two main stars. James Cagney. Yeah, O'Brien. James Cagney. Y'all know James Cagney, right? The old gangster from the 40s. It's a story of two men who grew up as friends. And they got into some trouble together. They were mischievous together. And the police were chasing them. Well, O'Brien got away. James Cagney didn't. He got caught. Therefore, it started a spiral of his life going downward and downward and downward. His buddy became a priest, a Catholic father. But O'Brien became a habitual criminal. And ended up going, well, I don't want to tell you the, well, you probably won't look at it. He ended up going, in the end, let's just say the end didn't work out good. I'll leave it at that. You need to watch it. Angels with Dirty Faces. Funny title, isn't it? It's a great movie. It's got a great story. And his friend felt so sorry, and he realized, but for the grace of God calling me out of that lifestyle, that would have been me. I mean, think about some of your friends, you know, your associations that you went to school with, maybe even people you work with now, and you're like, man, they are really out there. How did they get out there? I mean, you know, I'm 44 years old, and me and Mel are seeing more people my age that are just wackos. I mean, I remember, by the time you get to my age, you ought to have some sense. Don't you think? And I see folks my age, I'm like, my Lord, y'all still living, y'all from Mars? Y'all living out here somewhere still think you're in the flower child age or something. I don't know what's going on. Get with it. Grow up. I'm like, my God. And I just thank God that by His grace, that's not me. See, God redeemed you from your path of destruction. God caught you in time. God came in and called you by name. Church, that's a beautiful thing. All people don't hear the voice of God. Do you understand that? God is available, yes, but all don't hear that voice. You have heard the voice of your Creator call you by name and call you out and say, I want you to be my child. I'm calling you off this road of destruction. I'm healing you of all your sickness. I'm redeeming you of all your iniquities. I'm calling you out. Thank God for that, that we were chosen. We were chosen. Really picture your life not knowing God. I'll tell you how you can picture that. Look at the world. That's what it is. The world. I mean, just go out in public to a mall on a weekend and look around and just look at people and hear their mouth and look at their actions and just look at their attitude and look at their behavior. That would be us, because we're not that good on our own, believe me. We're not born good. Little Hudson, how old is Hudson now, a year? 16 months old. And y'all saw little Hudson, 16. He can't even talk yet, right? Yeah. Can't even talk. And what was he doing? And I say, Hudson. Just stops. Didn't cry no more after I talked to him. Isn't that amazing? You know what that is? Why? Why? Rebellion. That's all that is. Now, as adults, we don't do that. We do different channels. We do a little differently, but we feel that way sometimes. That's exactly right. It's called being married. You know, but it's amazing how little Hudson, he wasn't hurt. There wasn't nothing wrong with him. I don't know why he was crying, but he stopped. Now, it's different if somebody's, you know, I mean, if he's on a stage and fell head first, and he's got a reason, you know, show me, as Melanie says, show me the tears. Then, yeah, that's real. Show me the blood. Okay, yeah, you're really hurt. Let's go to the hospital. Otherwise, shut up. So, rebellion. The world's in total rebellion. Rebelling against all that's good. That would be us without Christ. Because the only thing that keeps us grounded is His Holy Spirit. The only thing that keeps us grounded. You ever wonder why you see good Christians that you know are good godly people? They stray sometimes. They get on the wrong course. You know, they have an affair. They do this or they do that. And you're like, how did that happen? We're all humans. We all have weaknesses. And without the strength of God, that temporary season could be a permanent season. But thank God His Holy Spirit draws us back and reminds us who we are. You're mine. You don't act that way. You know how you raise your kids to be a certain way and sometimes they turn out that way, sometimes they don't? But you raise them that way? And the old saying, parents, I raised you better than that. I taught you better than that. What you acting a fool for? Mama didn't raise no fool. I mean, really? You know, you pull the Mr. T moment. Remember Mr. 18? You're my age, you're older, 18 TV show? That's right. Mr. T, you fool. Mama didn't raise no fool. But yet, sometimes they don't turn out the way we raise them. You know what? As Christians, God reminds us, you're better than that. You're mine. You're covered in my blood. You've been touched by my spirit. You've been changed by me. You've been transformed. You've been renewed. You're not like the world, but you've been transformed out of the world into the kingdom of the dear Son. You're mine. So, benefits. God redeems our life from destruction, and He crowneth us. Crowneth us. That means He covers us with loving kindness and tender mercies. We know what mercy is, I believe. Remember the game as a kid you played when you were wrestling somebody and you cried mercy, and that meant you let go? Mercy, and you let go. Mercy means that God is always extending what we don't deserve for our benefit. You deserve this, but I'm going to reverse it for you and show you mercy. Yes, you deserve this, but I love you enough for that not to be upon your life. And so I'm showing you mercy. He showed us mercy at Calvary, the greatest mercy of all. He satisfieth our mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. God satisfies our appetite if we let Him. He executed righteous and judgment for all that are oppressed. Now we're talking about how God is good all the time. He made known His ways unto Moses and His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. If we could study God, as Roger was saying earlier, study God the way we study other people. I was asking Ashley about Twitter last night. Really, what? I mean, I know what Twitter is, but I'm like, what's really the point of it? Different than Facebook. I mean, I don't really know what the major big hype is about it. And she was talking about how, you know, the reason she mainly uses it is she gets to follow all these famous people and see what they're up to and what they're doing. Man, what if we Twitter Jesus? Hashtag Christ. Wouldn't that be neat? What's He up to today? Oh, wow. He healed somebody today. Wow, He saved a soul today. Wow, He kept that person from dying in that wreck. Wow, He showed up here. He did. What if we Twittered Jesus and followed Him the way that we follow all those stars that we think are so important that put their pants on the same way we do, just got more expensive pants. That's the only difference. It may be more expensive legs. They had work done. I mean, who knows? But the point is, it's the only difference in them. And we follow them. So I'm like, you know, I was trying to just figure out, because I know the Twitter is this big hype and stuff, and you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, well, I mean, I don't know. Let's don't get some of that. Let's follow Christ. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not, I love verse 10, He hath not dealt with us. Why? Because God is good all the time. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Aren't you thankful for that? I wouldn't want that treat bag coming out. I mean, think about that. Here's your bag. Here's what you get for what you've done. Oh my, you're talking about coal in a stocking. Can you say coal on fire? Brimstone? If we got what we deserved?
But he doesn't reward us that way. He doesn't give us what we... Why? Because he's forgiven us of our iniquities, because God is good. So even in your storms you've had this year, when you say, God, where are you at? Well, if you're his, he's in your heart. That's where he's at. God, why aren't you hearing me? He is hearing me. He never turns a deaf ear. God, why aren't you speaking? He is. You're not listening. God, I don't understand why I went through all of these things, but what else could you have went through if I hadn't been for me? What did I stop from happening? What did I keep you from? Do you realize how many times, you know, a week, a month, a year, you drive somewhere on all the roads you're on? We are just sometimes inches from other vehicles, and how you're okay. I mean, really think about that. Think about how many times God's kept you when these big rigs are going around you and it's raining, it's foggy, and water is splashing your windshield, and people are acting like idiots on the interstate flying 70 miles an hour in the rain going by you, and how God has kept you, and you got bald tires, and God somehow kept you, and windshield wipers ain't half working, the strips flying off, and God kept you from all that harm. God kept you all the times. We have two police officers here today, and I think about how God has kept them through all they faced, and how any moment that can change without the grace of God. I mean, you're talking about seconds from death in any moment, and how God kept you, keeps you. To understand that God is truly good. Though we go through bad things, God's not bad. And God is not the cause of bad things. God doesn't bring bad things into our lives. God keeps us through those bad things. And God takes us out of those bad things. And God helps us through those bad times. Because he is good all the time. For the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. You know what that means? His mercy is endless. It doesn't end. Remember Peter, I believe it was Peter, asked Jesus, was it Peter, said, you know, the law says we forgive, you know, three times and, you know, or seven times and blah, blah, blah. And Jesus says, well, I say you forgive 70 times seven. You know, 70 times seven. You know what Jesus was saying? You always forgive. There's never a moment you don't forgive. You keep forgiving, but you keep forgiving. Because you know what unforgiveness does? It doesn't hurt the other person. It hurts us because you're the one carrying it. It's carrying a big old weight, and it only hurts you. Half the time, folks don't even know you're mad at them or don't even like them, and you're carrying that rage and that bitterness and that poison in your body. When you look at them or think about them, and you get the nauseous feeling or the headache or, you know, the shakes or whatever because you're so upset with them, you're hurting yourself, and you're stopping your flow of God's blessing in your own life. I know forgiveness is hard. Man, I know it's hard. I fight that, church. We all fight that. But thank God his mercy is endless. His forgiveness is endless. It goes on and on and on and on. Covers every mistake, every setback, every failure, every drop-off. God covers that. God's got us covered. Aren't you glad God forgives us more than three times or seven times? We'd be lost yesterday, one day, right? Thank God that mercy flows forever. As far as the east is from the west, he has removed. Look at this, removed. This is a past tense word. Removed, E-D. It means ed. It means past tense. Anything ends in that means it's already been done. Removed, already did it. He has removed our transgressions from us. The blood removed those transgressions from our life. Which means I'm free to worship God in his righteousness, not trying to establish my own because I have no righteousness. None. You don't believe that? Look at all the great men and women we lift up. Maybe you've known great men and women that you had so much confidence in that failed you. You've seen them fail. You've seen them give up. You've seen them fall into sin. If they're so righteous, why do they fall? Because there is no self-righteousness. I mean, there is that word, but there is no real self-righteousness. The only righteousness is Christ living in us. And he removed our sins. And when we accept that Jesus, you are righteous. I'm not righteous because I can't do anything very good. And this word of struggle comes for so many people trying to serve God because they serve God and they have a setback. They fall into sin. They do something stupid. They, you know, get weak, they fall into a trap, they go into a season of darkness, and they think they're not saved, or God can't forgive them, or that God's not helping them, or that they never had a commitment to begin with. That's just not true. We all, as Christians, have those times when we don't always act real good. And once again, I know maybe you're not guilty of what we call the big sins. What society calls the big sins, right? But when we are saying harsh words to one another, when we are spreading gossip about one another, when we are talking about one another, that is much more poison than many of the big sins in reality. You are hurting other people. What about our mind? We've talked about that before. What about our mind? Your mind ever have wrong thoughts? Oh, my gosh. You know, we can't really, much we want to think we can, we really can't fully control what comes into our mind. We try. And when bad thoughts come, you know, what do? The religious thing. In Jesus' name, Satan, get behind me. I rebuke those thoughts. But it still comes. It's still there. We can't control what comes into our mind. If I showed you, if I had picture cards to show you a picture of a big old thick juicy slice of pepperoni pizza, what would come into your mind? I want that. Pizza. Yeah, that's good. If I showed you a picture of a beautiful woman, and men, you better be quiet right now, I'm just telling you. But you know what you'd be thinking. Sure. Sure, Brandon. Pizza, yeah. If I showed you a picture of a shiny red Corvette, in your mind would come images of you driving in that with the T-tops out, your shades on, and every girl looking at you. Some of you might figure out how you get out of it, you know, because it's so low. But other than that, you'd be thinking, wow. Pictures are powerful, and so our mind sees things all the time. And we form those thoughts, and we form those opinions. And so even if we're not doing the big sins, okay, I'm not out, and I'm not getting drunk, I'm not doing drugs, I'm not fornicating. What else is a big sin for the religious folks? Oh, I'm not gambling. What else is a big sin for Christians? Oh, I don't have any tattoos. What else is a big sin? I don't smoke. Yeah, listen to your parents. Yeah, we know that's true. I'm an habitual, you know, I don't do any of the big things that religious world says, oh, is bad. But let's see. What do we really do? What do we really think? All of us come short of this. And to think that God has removed, God knows our future thoughts after He saved us. God knew all of our decisions we'd make after He called our name. God knew the path we would choose and mistakes we would make after He saved us. Yet He called our name. You know why? It wasn't by mistake. The Bible says His call is without repentance. It means He don't make mistakes. He's not apologizing for who He called. He called who He meant to call. And that's what it was about. Next verse. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields shall yield no. Oh, I'm sorry. If you can click back to Habakkuk, verse 15. I didn't know we were starting, or 17, yeah. This is Habakkuk. I'm sorry, I thought we were still in Psalms. Habakkuk, little minor prophet, they call him. Look at what Habakkuk says in chapter 3, verse 17. All of the fig tree shall not blossom, and the fruit be in the vines, and the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You know what Habakkuk is saying? He was talking about the coming Chaldean invasion, saying that if our land is stripped of all things, if we lose the war and all is lost and all is gone, I still will rejoice in the Lord, for He is the God of my salvation. Do you realize when something's been gone, when something's been stolen, God can replace it? That if something's been stripped away, God can put it back? That whatever's been is missing, God can replenish? Just because it's gone now, don't mean it's going to be gone tomorrow? We serve a God who speaks things out and things appear and things happen. We serve a God who creates all things, visible and invisible, that we don't see. He's the maker of all things. Instead of being made in America or made in China, you know what it really is? Made in kingdom. It's made in God's kingdom. Everything is created by the hand of God in some way, some fashion, some form. So even if the land is stripped, even if we're barren, even if the enemy comes in and destroys us and my life is a living hell, I still will rejoice in the God of my salvation. For he hath healed me of my diseases. He hath redeemed me from my life of destructions. And he hath forgiven me of all of my iniquities. He is my God, and he is good all the time. No matter what I'm going through or what I'm going to face, he is constant and he is steady. Then it goes on to say, the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet and will make me walk upon my high places. To the chief singer of my strength. This was a song they put to music. This verse was actually a lyric to a stringed instrument. They sung this verse. He'll make me strong because he's my strength. I'll rejoice because he's good. Yes, I face bad things, but God's not bad. People blame God for everything that goes wrong in their lives. I think every one of us at some point, maybe we've been not been brave enough to say it out of our mouth, but maybe we've thought it. Man, God, why? Why? I love you. I serve you. Why? This got to happen to me. God is not bad. Think of all the good things. And if we could count our blessings from this past year, all the good things would far outweigh the bad things. I mean, if we just really get thinking about some things right now, this morning, though some of you may be in pain as I'm talking right now, you're on medication for different physical issues. Maybe you can't hear quite as good as you used to, see quite as good, walk quite as fast. Here's the good news. You can still see, you can still hear, and you can still walk. And many cannot. I see some of these soldiers you see on different things that come back from war, and they've lost legs and lost arms, have all kinds of mental struggles from what they have seen and what they have faced. Young boys, young men, that come back and their life's been shattered forever. We have our sight and our arms and our legs and our ears and our breath and our feet and our hands. We have a place to live. None of you in here this morning that I know of, unless you've not told me, none of you are homeless. I ran to a guy last week at McDonald's. I stopped in to get something at McDonald's and I ran to a guy I knew, 28 years old. We got talking. I said, man, what's going on? And this guy is homeless. He's living out in the woods in a tent. And I said, man, what's going on? Because he asked me if I could go borrow 30 cents, And I said, well, just, come on, let's get you some breakfast. We sat down and we talked. I said, what's going on? How'd you get to, where you at? And told me a little bit of this, story and stuff. But here's a 28-year-old guy that has no home, living in a tent in the woods. This is around us more than we realize. All of you have somewhere to live with a covering that I know of. And if you don't, then you need to let me know. But I think all of you have a place to live. All of us have clothes. All of us have clean water. All of us probably eat every day more than we should. Most of us, if not all of us in here that can drive, have a vehicle to drive to get to and fro. Really think of the blessings that we have. All that God has given us. He is good. And yes, I'm going to go through things I don't like. I'm going to act like Hudson when it happens. Man, God, why? I don't like it. And God just calms me down. Says, son, don't you know? Look at what I've done for you. Look at where he's brought you from. Some of you might, and I don't know this, I'm just saying, some of you might have been in a really bad place years ago. Look where he's brought you from. Look what he's brought you out of. And think about where you would be without him. His guiding hand upon your life. Understand, we didn't fall through the cracks. God kept us. We didn't fall through somewhere lost. God called each of us, or we wouldn't be here right now if he hadn't. And I know life is hard, and life doesn't seem fair. I understand the evil sometimes seem to be blessed, and the righteous seem to be cursed. I get it. I see that. But, we're not cursed when we realize what God has done for us. They may have pleasure for 40 or 50 years, but church, we're going to have pleasure forevermore. ever and ever to never end, we win the game of life because of Jesus. That ought to excite more than three, y'all. Hallelujah. I mean, I understand. We look around and say, man, they got this, they got that. What do we have? We got the King of Kings living in us. We celebrated this birth of this precious child 2,000 years ago. We have this gift living in us. That when our time on earth is ended and it comes our time, that we see the eternal reward of the seed that was sown in our life. When others don't have that same reward. Give me hardship on earth to have eternal life than to have a glorious life and damnation in the end. Man, we're so blessed. You know something that I do? It might sound strange, but you ought to be thankful when you pay your bills. It's a good feeling to be able to pay your bills. Those of you that can't pay them, you know what I'm talking about. When you actually can pay your bills, you get your paycheck, you sit down, you write out, you know, you pay your bills for the month or however you do it. You pay them, you're like, okay, the water bill's in, the power bill's in, the house payment's in. Wow. I got $3.50 left. Hallelujah. Praise God. But my bills are paid. That's a good feeling that you are able to cover them. Thank God for that, because everybody can't do that. Romans 8:28. I think about Don Chiller, this verse. I know it's one of his favorite verses, one of mine too. Favorite parts of the Bible. Romans 8:28. Let's remind ourselves of this verse. Let's read together. It's on the screen. Let's read together. Y'all ready? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things. Boy, that kind of takes away our wham moment, don't it? All things work together for good. Boy, it don't feel good when the transmission drops out, when the rent's late, when the child's being a hellion, when you're out of food, gas went up at $3 a gallon, wife's nagging you. Man, I'm telling you, all of a sudden you're like, how is any of this good? But the Bible gives a promise that if we are called of God, if God is our Lord and Savior, He is working all things. Just like a parent tells their child, just like you tell Abby. Abby, ask something, and maybe you don't want to tell her the full detail because you don't want to sell someone out. And, you know, she says, hey, Mama, can I go to so-and-so's house? But you know stuff going on. Abby, no, you can't go over there and spend the night. But why, Mama, why? Well, I just know best. No, but you can't tell her because you can't sell the people out. Maybe they're, you know, crackheads or whatever, you know, whatever. And, you know, maybe he's a pedophile, you know, whatever. No, you can't go there. But why, Mama? Just trust me, Abby. To Abby, it's like Mama's the worst mom in the world. You never let me do nothing. All my other friends get to go. She, you know, takes off, slams the door, whatever. But you know what? You know best. And you're working that out for Abby's good, though it looks bad. That's how God is. We go through some bad things, and we think that God's not in that. But there's times that God is working things, even when it seems bad, for a better good for our lives. And we've got to just trust Him. We've got to, like we tell our kids, just trust me. Just trust me. Why can't you tell me, Mom? Why? You just don't need to know that information, but you can't go there. You can't play with that person. You can't go to that house. You can't go to that event, you know, whatever. Because there's just things you don't understand. And they, you know, argue and they fuss and they don't understand. Just trust me. I'm doing it. Don't you love this when you know, as a kid, you parent, I'm just doing it for your own good. Yeah, I'm getting the belt for my own good. Yeah, it feels real good right now. Yeah. I'm getting whipped for my own good. Yeah, okay. But then you go to Proverbs where it says, a father that doesn't correct his son hateth his son, is what Proverbs says. That's a powerful verse. Hateth his son. You know, I got whooped as a kid, and I remember my whoopings. Do I have any anger issues because of it? Absolutely not. Any bitterness? Absolutely not. Did I get whippings I didn't deserve? Yes, I did. But you know what? It's all good, and I have no issues with that. I would rather have had a few misguided whippings than none at all. Because it taught me respect and fear. And I appreciate that. Sometimes our bad situation, we can't see God in it. But we got to remember what Romans tells us here, what Paul writes, that we are the called of God, and everything he's doing is working out for a purpose for our lives. It's hard to explain that. I know it sounds so shallow when you went through a major crisis. I know you don't want to hear that in a major storm. You know, Chris wouldn't want to hear in a hospital, "Hey, Chris, man." I'm not bad, but you know, Chris, we're sitting there talking, "Hey, Chris, man, Romans 8:28 says this, brother. All things work out for good." "Dude, I had a heart attack. You give me that verse?" "I'm just saying, brother. All things work out for good to them who are the called." And it doesn't sound like, it's not a verse I pull out in a moment like that, of course. I wait till Chris is a little better mood. Gets out of the hospital, get some food in him, you know what I'm saying? Don't have any guns on him. And then I might say, "Hey, brother, all things work out for good. So cheer up. Glorify God. It's all going to be good." We got to really understand, we got to really believe this verse, that all things work out for good. Have you looked back in your life and seen a situation you were in and thought God didn't answer that prayer or God let you down, but then you look back a few years removed, you look back, as the old saying, hindsight's 20/20, and you're like, "Oh, yeah. Man, God, you are working that out. Yes. I see now more clearly than I did in the moment. And thank you, God, for watching after me when I was a fool." Last, if I got another verse, is that it? I thought I had one more verse. Yeah, amen. Oh, first, what does that say? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Let me close with this verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this: "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." It's the will of God we give thanks. I'm not saying we say, "Hey, God, thank you for making my life a disaster." Don't pray like that. "Lord, thank you." You know, I think about you, Tim, and what you said, how moving it was, what you said to me. Tim, back on the very back row, lost a finger a couple weeks ago at work in a machine, lost one of his fingers. And I remember Tim told me, said, "You know," said, "it could have been much worse." He said, "I could have lost my whole hand. My hand had got caught in there, and I could have lost a whole hand." You're talking about seeing the silver lining in a dark cloud. It wasn't fun to lose that finger. Probably don't seem fair to lose that finger. But in the big picture of things, yeah, it could have been worse. And I like what you said there. This is kind of the verse, this is that verse exemplified. Really, Tim giving thanks in all things. "I give you thanks, Lord, it wasn't my hand. I give you thanks, it's only one finger. I give you thanks, Lord, I'm still alive to be with my family. I give you thanks, Lord. In everything, give God thanks." That's the will of God for our lives. God loves a thankful, grateful spirit. Don't you like thankful people? Don't you hate when people don't seem thankful for things you do for them? They seem to expect it. Takes all the joy out of it. But when they're thankful, like Christmas morning, right? Open up the gifts. Oh, wow. But their face is like this. Really? Really? You know how much you spend on that? Are you kidding me? Ain't the right color. Thankfulness. You know what thankfulness does? Thankfulness bursts an intimacy with God. As we're thankful to God, it bursts an intimacy because we're more sensitive to His Spirit as we're thinking of. And it opens up our hearts to really hear Him and receive Him in a different way. God is good all the time. You may have had hardships this year, but God is still good. And God changes not. And I'm believing for 2016 to be a blessed year for the people of God. I'm believing for 2016. I do see something happening. I think there's going to be a great shift in 2016. We'll talk about that more in our New Year's Eve service. But I feel like a major shift happening in 2016. But the good news is God is good all the time. And we're on God's side. So when everything shifts, we're shifting with God. And God's keeping us through everything that's going to come against our nation and against this world. Trust Him. and know that He loves you. I know it's been a sad Christmas for many of us because, you know, we've lost someone, or maybe someone was missing this year that was there last year. You know, first Christmas we ever had without our son being with us at Christmas. A little different for us. So I know Christmas brings up some memories of, man, I miss my mom, miss my dad, miss my brother, miss my kids, miss whoever. But for those of us in Christ, it's a temporary separation, very temporary. Just a very temporary separation to where we will be together once again as a family. And I'm thankful for that promise in the Lord. All right, go to the next slide there. Y'all see that on the screen? So make sure y'all see that. Nobody's showing up and then fussing. You didn't tell me. No service Wednesday night. Go to the next slide. New Year's Eve service Thursday night, 9 p.m. I hope you can be here for that service. We always have a great time. I know people have other plans sometimes and parties to go to and all that stuff, get-togethers, but what better thing to bring the new year in the house of God to celebrate it? This will be our 13th or 14th New Year's Eve service. We've done one every year since we started church. And it's a wonderful time. We'll have a food break. We'll have some pizza. And I do need the folks that come. Every year we do this. If you're planning on being here, bring a light hors d'oeuvre. No heavy meal. We'll have pizza. Just a light hors d'oeuvre or a dessert of some sort. And we'll break, have about an hour of eating and fellowship, and we'll come back in here, and we'll bring the new year in together, praising the Lord in worship. So we're very excited about our New Year's Eve service going into 2016. So if you can be here, be a part of it. Get you a rest, get you a nap that day, and come charged. 9 o'clock till whenever. It's in as early as 12:05. It's when as late as 1:25.